We've been bought. We're not our own. When we receive Jesus, we receive all that He is. Amen? His mind, His wisdom, His understanding. And I just want to pray right now and make sure that we don't just receive Him as a confession or as a way to go to heaven and then we keep our old mindset and our old way of thinking. See, the Word of God becomes your wisdom and the way you think and the way you live. It's true. And we're not for sale. We're not selling out to fear. We're not selling out to human reasoning and human wisdom. Our experience isn't going to buy us out. We're not going to sell out the Word because of what happened in our life. We're going to hold on to Jesus. We're going to press through. We're going to believe to the saving of our soul. 1 Peter chapter 1. Father, right now we just pray. We just pray for a revelation of what's being sung here tonight. Let it not be seen or heard as just a person that's being passionate, but let us hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We're not for sale. There is no compromise. The love of Christ compels us because we judge this. If one died, every man died. And if we live because He died, we ought to never live for ourselves, but for Him that died. 2 Corinthians 5. Father, we pray a revelation of that come into our hearts tonight. Let us not be afraid to be passionate. Let us be sincere. Let us be sold out. And let us be humble tonight to just hear Your Word and know that You are the way. You're not a way. You're the way. You're the way. You're not a way. You're not a truth. You're the truth. And everything is because of You. It's by You. It's through You. And it's by Your power that all things exist. Let us see You for who You are. Let us not be hindered. Let us not be deceived. Let us not be blind to truth, but let a revelation come. Holy Spirit, we ask You for illumination of our hearts tonight. We humble ourselves in Your presence. And we ask for the move of Your Spirit. We don't just want good teaching and knowledge tonight. We want revelation. We're asking the eyes of our heart would see and behold the truth, and the truth would make us free. We just thank You that the love of God, the love of this covenant would come and embrace us. And we just thank You for these things. We're not for sale. Lord God, we're not for sale. Let commitments be made tonight. Let people get really serious tonight. If they haven't been serious, let them say, God, I'm not for sale. This is too big of a deal to just hold on to anything of me. God, give us the grace to just see what it means to sell out and live for You. Thank You. You be our wisdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for praying for me. I appreciate it. Thank You, Lord. I feel happy. The Word of God's true. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I do. I just feel happy, man. I'm having the time of my life. He's up here laughing because he said he never seen me any other way. That's pretty good coming from a guy that hangs out with me. So I don't change when I leave the church. Oops. Sorry. Oops. This is me. Amen. Forgive me. God, we got to see this, okay? Now listen, I've been trying to get this. Does that sound loud to you or not? I just sound loud to myself. Thanks, Pam. I know you want to hear the words. She got it cranked. She said, we want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You go, girl. You got it cranked up. I thought if I get a little excited and raise my voice, we're in trouble. People say the place was shaking. Man, what'd you do when you prayed for me, Don? Gee. Listen, when he was singing, we're not for sale, I'm thinking about the Word of God. And I'm thinking, you know what? If we're receiving Jesus, it's not like we're, you know, we say a lot of stuff in the church that doesn't really measure up. We receive Him into our life. Receive Him into our heart. You hear that stuff a lot. But you exchange the old life for His life. You give Him your life. He becomes who you are. His Word rules and reigns. His Word is number one. We are submitting. In other words, we were living by our own understanding. There's a way that seems right. Seems right. Seems so right to you and I that we argued for it. And we fought for what we thought and believed. And there's a way that seems right to a man, but its way leadeth to death. But there's a way that's right in the sight of God, and it's through Jesus Christ. And I want you to see this. I'm not going to camp here long. You could stay here all night. This one little scripture right here, because it's huge. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus. Of who? Of God the Father. It's the will of God that we're born again. It's the will of God that your sins are forgiven. It's the will of God that Jesus came and died for every man, that every man would live. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn and repent. He doesn't desire that any man would perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of him. It's his desire that all men be saved and filled with the knowledge of truth. I just quoted three different scriptures for you. Because that's the will of God. It is the will of God that you're saved. It is the will of God that you're delivered. Amen? So, look at this. We were created in his image. Let us make man in our image, and in the likeness and image of God he made man. No matter what we've become through sin, the fall of man, pride, the tragedy that you could trace through history, God has not changed. And you have remained the will of God. You have remained his love. You have remained the same. So you're the will of God. There's a time to be born. We're the will of God. We're not a mistake. Come on. We're the will of God. He saw our day. He said, Bob be and Bob was. I just like that. Makes me happy to see that now, because I used to not appreciate my life and I took it for granted and I just lived it for me and I wasted it for a while. God's the Redeemer. Don't get caught up in what you could have done. Get a hold of it now and run hard. He'll make up for everything. Amen? Amen. See you back here, buddy. Listen to this. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us. What did Christ Jesus? Now, Christ is the anointed. Christ Jesus, let me just say it this way. The anointed man. The one that came from God, the Son of God, Son of Man. He says Christ because you need to see he's the anointed one. He's the one that the Spirit of God's upon. He came, Spirit of God's upon him. John the Baptist said, the one that the Spirit of God came upon and remained on, it is he. Okay? Jesus is awesome. Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Now, if you find a comment like that in your Bible, it would be good to humble yourself to God and his word and find out what that means. And I just, honestly, I'm going to tell you how I am and how I live. I've thrown away my human reasoning, logic, my sense, the way I've thrown it away. I honestly believe, if I'm deceived, I need God to show me. But I honestly believe I see my life and others word and through Jesus. I've thrown away this ability to talk myself out of God. It's not in me. I don't talk myself out of the possibilities of God. That's why I act this way. See, I'm talking that way and I'm flaked out right now inside. I can't help it because I'm blessed to see that. That means fear is crushed. Doesn't matter what's going on, because I'm seeing through him. It doesn't matter the pressure. It just makes a greater draw on who he is and your confession and your faith. You understand? And I've been careful for weeks to say we're not up here preaching a bunch of methods to apply to get a response in your life. This is a covenant of love, for God so loved the world. You could be this simple in a time of need, pressure on your life, pressure on your body. You could simply be this simple. Father, I'm so thankful you love me. And when you say that, you understand that everything in this book came from love. Everything's hinged because he loves me. It's hinged to it. It's backed by love that never fails. So heaven forbid I try to put a principle and apply it and say it enough to get a response and feel left down, when I can actually be in love, when I can actually receive love. There's a lot of times I don't quote scripture when I'm believing God for things. I'll just say, be healed. Jesus' name or in my personal life over the years, I've just, thank you for loving me. I just appreciate, Lord God, you've forgiven me of all my sin. When I say one phrase like that, guess what I'm saying? I'm saying God came through Jesus, vindicated me, delivered me, made me just as if I've never sinned. I have access to God. I'm right with God. He doesn't judge me for sin. Sin is crushed. I must receive the righteous judgment of God and the blessing of God. I'm okay. I see all that when I say that. It's just in me. I see that he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. So one phrase, Father, I'm so thankful you love me. I realize that all this is hinged on love. I'm not studying my Bible to get a whole bunch of information to apply to get a response from God. I have gotten a response from God. I was lost and he came and found me. Okay? I was seeking my own way and he said, whoa, over here. Okay? And when he got my attention and I was like, and I came face to face with me and the mess of who I was, I humbled myself and confessed that. I remember for me saying, my life is pitiful. I'm a mess. I'm a hypocrite. I'm not what I say I am. I remember crying all that out. And the whole time he was washing me of those things. And when I came out of that situation, I yielded myself and I said, I will live for you. And that's the way it's been ever since. Now I'm living from that place. Pressures, trials, troubles. Well, sure. You're in the world, but you're not of it. Tribulations, things come to press and attack your faith. Does the devil get in your face to say, oh, that ain't so. Well, then what about this? Well, look at this. Well, what about that? And if you don't fill yourself up with this truth, truth can't come to your rescue. You'll just answer right here. Well, you know, yeah, that does. I mean, wonder if he loves me. I wonder why that is happening to me. Because if he really loved me, I wonder why he would let me. And all of a sudden, you're talking yourself out of the most critical thing on the earth, and that's knowing God loves you. And Satan wants to get that away from you. Get you into works. Get you trying to earn something that's already right and given. Look, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. We've got to go to Colossians. But Christ Jesus became us wisdom from God. Are you hearing that? So I don't want to think through my mind. I want to live through Jesus. I want to understand who he is, what he said, his precepts. I want to catch the heart of God through him. He was so bold that he came and said, when you see me, you have seen the Father. We have become such an intellectual people, an irrational people. We talk ourselves out of the power of God in a moment based on life, experiences, and feelings. But that word says all things are possible to them that believe. But we will take experience and human reasoning and rise it above the word of God and say, yeah, but. We really will. I'm not going to do that. You can stone me for not doing that, but I'm not going to do that. You can say I'm out of balance. That's your privilege. But I'm going to see the power of God in my life. And I'm going to get in impossible situations and see the possible. You can sit back and yell, but. And you can say, well, yeah, but I ain't always that. And do very little for the kingdom of God. And you can find someday that you have heaven on the inside of you. And you have the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. And you've just talked your way through your life and left him dormant there. He wants to move with power. There's so many testimonies. There's so many things happening. And Pastor Don asked to come up and pray. And this door, this thing is opening where I'm getting to just pour my heart all over the place. And we're praying all over the place for people. There was a little string of, there was 11 days, out of 11 days, we had like 9 service settings where we're preaching and praying. And now we're going to have about 8 or 9 more straight. You know, it's just good. And there's so many testimonies. I told someone Thursday that I get calls and people tell me, you know, we prayed for this lady for 5 years. She's got diarrhea every day. That's terrible. We prayed for her. She hasn't had diarrhea since. She sit under the word and she's eaten things that would have made it even worse if you follow my drift. She couldn't eat stuff and still had diarrhea. But if she ate certain stuff, she had diarrhea. See, what I love about the gospel is man does everything he can and bless God for that and all his ingenuity and all his help and all his sympathy and all his labors to help each other through. And I'm not against medical. You have never heard me preach against medical. Who has ever heard me preach against medical science and doctors and put it down? You will never hear me. Bless God for all the help. But here's the cool thing I see about the gospel. You run at, you come to an end of you. We say God gave us all this stuff, but God's an unlimited resource. There's no limitation to who He is through Jesus Christ in our lives, but yet we put all our faith in this other stuff, but it has its limit. And we say it's all from God, but God's not limited. Look, medical science couldn't help that lady. They tried, and for 5 years she lived this way, and they said she'd be that way forever till she'd pass. But it ain't true. It's not true. Your mind says it's true. Her circumstance says it's true. Every medical reason says it's true. But Christ has become the wisdom of God for us. It's not true. God, we got to get this. Come on. This book is true. And we say, yeah, but, well, yeah, well, then how come? And what about? Ooh, and we're so busy talking ourselves out of it, we never truly step into it, I believe. Look, it might not happen over here. She might still have diarrhea, and I'm still excited because I found Christ is the wisdom of God, and I'm going to get a hold of this, bless God. I'm not going to let the fact that she still has diarrhea close up my Bible and just be a passive Christian. If he says it in his book and I'm believing it's true and he's forgiven me of sin and taken me to heaven, why can't I believe the rest of the book? Let's go after it. Let's stop being talked out of the glory and power of God. We're getting run over like a freight train by the devil, but who can stop God? Forgive me. I feel real excited. God, see, I got a lady in my life that we had the privilege of touching that doesn't have what she had, and man could not do a thing more. But you pray one prayer in Jesus' name. It's right. I've been saying this a lot. You've got a situation, there's no hope. It doesn't matter how many TV programs you run. It doesn't matter how much you draw the empathy of the world to that person and generate finances and even billions of dollars. If it's terminal, it's terminal. If there's no hope, there's no hope. You can get the whole world's attention and get everybody's finances. And how are you going to help that person? And where are you going to take them? We're going to take them to Jesus. And we're not going to be fear-hearted, and we're not going to let yesterday determine our zeal, and we're not going to be talked out of it because of religion that says, well, now you got to get in right balance. And Jesus was very out of balance, if that's true. Because everybody that came to him walked away well. That's pretty tipping the scales. There's not much balance there. It wasn't like half left the same and half got healed. There's no percentages there. Healed. Come on. Think with me. And he's the wisdom of God for us. You got some? I thought you were just worshiping Jesus.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, buts are devils.
Go to Colossians. I do agree with him. They're religious lying spirits that get you to lean on the wisdom of man instead of the wisdom of God. It is just too easy to rationalize ourselves out of the power of God. It takes absolutely no faith to do that. It takes humility and faith to stay in that word and get on your knees and seek God and fast a few meals and go after heaven so heaven can flow through you and help people that need this power. Come on, it's just too easy to sit back and be passive and criticize the gospel and say it's not what it seems. It is what it seems. It is. It's real. Look, we had a lady. She was so torn. She was at this revival service, and I shared it already probably, but I didn't share the details. I got a word for depressions and medicine, and I wanted everybody to come up, and I got up on the bench, and I was passionate. Was anybody at Penn Grove the night that I was ministering over there? And I called the people up with depressions, and then I called all the sickness up, and that all... I just shuttled them all over here and I said, and I don't usually do this. You people that know me know I don't do this. I said, don't anybody pray for them. I'm praying.
They're mine. I see this and I'm going after it. I said, so don't nobody pray for them. They're mine. I said that. And I said, y'all, didn't I say that? Did I tell them I'm praying? Don't nobody, I'm praying for these people. I said, I got the word. I see this thing. I need to touch them. And this lady got a thing growing on her neck. And she came because she wants to get rid of that. You would have too. She had it for a while now. And now she's torn because she's on meds for depression. And she's like, well, I want this to go. I need to go over. But I need to get free. And I got real adamant and said, listen, I'm not messing around anymore. You need to run up here. If you're on any kind of meds for depression, you need to get up here now. Jesus is setting you free. That's just the way it is. And I was pretty adamant, wasn't I? I jumped off the thing and I got the last one. It was this lady. She come running up and I think I got her first because she pulled in the line and I just got her first. I prayed for her. Now watch where her heart is. She's got two altar calls, two issues going on. I prayed for her and the power of God hit her and, it was a pretty good reaction on her part and it was just God. And while that was happening, this thing just melted, disappeared. Now see, I've got time for that. I've got time to, now you can say, well, that was the sovereign purposes of God moving at the precise time as God willed. And you can rationalize yourself. And no, it was faith, heart cry. It was all that stuff. But it was the message preached saying, it's possible. It's possible. It's possible. Come on. Look, if we were just praying for people like this, hoping God shows up and maybe he will and maybe he won't, we probably wouldn't need to pray. Probably God would just do what he would do. What are we doing if we're just praying with no faith, no understanding, no revelation, no authority? We're just saying, God, please come and heal. What big part are we playing there? We're going through some Christian rhetorical motion to feel useful when we're being useless because what we're saying is, look, we're praying to God, but we don't know God. We don't know his heart. We're very impersonal to him. He's never revealed himself to us and we don't know the inner heart of God and we don't know who God is, but we know he can help you if he chooses to help you. So let's pray. We do know God. We do know the heart of God. The mystery's been revealed. We see God through Jesus and he is awesome and he is love and he hates the devil and he doesn't like what sin has done to people. And that's why he sent his son to die in the flesh a brutal death so he could set us free from sin and the snare of sin. We do know God. We do know the heart of God. He's compassionate. Jesus looks at the multitudes with compassion. So much so, they got the message back then. Why can't we just settle it and get the message? They just brought all the sick to him. And everywhere you see in your Bible they did that, they all walked away well. Come on. Is that in your Bible? Can you show me one place where Jesus turned somebody down or it didn't happen because it wasn't their time or it wasn't God's will? Can you show me one place through Jesus' life? But we say that stuff in the church constantly. We're being deceived. And we're losing our ability to be fully convinced. And it's tapping into the authority and aggression of the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of every one of us. It's true. See, an atmosphere gets so clear and God's revealed through teaching and you pray for depression and it don't matter if they have a lump or they're depressed. They both got to go because they're both smoked out. They're both exposed and they're both got to go. You pray for people when they got four things wrong and you pray for one thing and find all of them got. I like that. Man, we just prayed for a dear lady. George, you were there. You saw that lady. We prayed for a dear lady on Thursday night. She was riddled with Lyme disease and she had a lot of pain in her body. Her elbows were really aching her and we prayed and she was like, and then she, her face just lit up like a light bulb and she's like, no pain. Just, come right out of it. It's just so fun. It's just God. Amen? There's a whole lot of things. Colossians. Now, I read this a lot. I want to read it quick. God, I got to go. I'm trying to get away from it. Do you know I talk to friends? I'm not on a tangent. I'm just obeying what's crying out in my heart. I talk to a lot of Christian friends and a lot of people, and we're the confessing Christians are the stumbling block to ourselves. There's so many of us saying one thing and others saying others, and no matter how much God moves, unbelief can talk around it. I mean, God is doing extraordinary things right now. I'm seeing more aggression and more. I've been privileged for the 12 years I've been saved. I've seen all kinds of stuff for 12 years. I could tell you stories that make you cry. They made me cry. They still make me cry when I think about them. I mean, I've seen some stuff. I've seen powerful things. And I've been privileged for the whole walk of 12 years to see those things through that course of time. But there's an aggression in my heart, and God's opened this door. He's graced me, if you will, to be in this atmosphere and preach this constantly and pray for people all the time. And in the last year, just realizing it never stops. Just pray for people. Just pray for people. I was just with Dave today. He said almost a day doesn't go by anymore that he doesn't get a word of knowledge and pray for the sick and see somebody healed. Coming from a church that preaches it's not even for today or real. But he still attends there. He's not offended and mad because he knows, hey, that's not a threat to him. He knows the truth. The light's in his heart. So you can say he doesn't all you want, and he's doing it. The word of knowledge is for those very people that are talking around it. If you just humble your heart and say, God, do this in me. Let me have this thing flowing through me like this, because I want to see your glory and people healed too. And I've never believed, and I thought, God, here I am. Just start working through me like this. I surrender. Probably would just happen. See, we were in a restaurant, and there was a Jewish soccer team or something there. And people already had been healed, and Todd got a word for a manager in the back. He didn't know he was a manager. He told the lady that was waiting on our table, there is a man in the back. He's a big man with short cropped dark hair, and he has a problem right here. That's what he told the lady. And she said, I'll go find him. Or whatever. She didn't know where he was, who he was. And he went back. He said, well, let me go help. And he went back and was looking at his people back in the kitchen that didn't speak English. And we're ready to leave. He goes over to the Jewish soccer team. Hey, guys, bless you. Did you hear the good news? Jesus loves you. And they're like, whatever. Okay, Jewish soccer. We're Jewish. They affirm that. We're Jewish. Leave us alone. We don't believe in Jesus is what they were saying. He's no Christ or Messiah. They turn their backs and go out the door, and the door closes. They're standing on the curb with their backs turned waiting for the bus. We're on the other side of the door. The manager comes out, short, dark, cropped hair, and all his staff and people, and he's smiling, looking to Todd, say, hey, you want to see me? He said, yeah, you're the guy I saw. You got a problem right here. I said, that's exactly where I got a problem. Yeah. He said, well, listen, man, that's Jesus. He's the Lord. He showed me that because he loves you. He wants to heal you. Can we pray? Yeah. And all the kids and the people that were working for him, this is their manager. They're not being prayed for worrying about the manager.
Thank God it's Fridays.
Yeah, it was in TTF Fridays. Their manager's being touched. So they're loving it. The kids were like, they were just like, so he prays for the manager, check yourself out. Manager goes, oh my gosh, it's totally gone. It's complete. Right on the other side of the door is a Jewish soccer team with the door closed. Whatever. And Jesus is right here healing the sick. Whew, that is wow. I looked at that and said, if this isn't prophecy and things being relived, and I just saw the whole Bible unfold right there. I was standing there going like this. The condition of your heart is incredibly important.
He met two people today. He even had a word of knowledge for one, I believe, and they wouldn't let you pray or didn't even want it. Well, then, and the man with his dad, and they didn't want no parts of it. Even though he was red in the face, and how do you know that? And he said, my daddy told me. He said, my daddy told me that about your daddy. He said, your dad's at home with sciatic problem and a bad back in a beer store. He wanted to pray for the man. The man said, I'm fine. He said, well, Jesus heals, and I was going to pray for you. Oh, is that so? He said, yeah, man. He started telling him testimonies. He said, well, whatever. And Todd walked away, and he said to the Lord, you know, this isn't good, Lord. He really doesn't believe anything I said, and I think you probably really ought to reveal yourself to him. You ought to give me something to convince him, because he's really not convinced. And the Lord said, okay, go tell him his dad's at home with a bad back problem, and it's down his right leg. His sciatic nerve is hurting him. And he went back and said, hey, man, I went over and talked to my daddy, and he told me something about your daddy. And he gave him the word of knowledge, and the guy gets red in the face and goes, my dad is in that condition. He does have that. He said, well, get him on the telephone. We're going to call him. Jesus is going to heal him, and it's a good thing. Well, he's sleeping. He was out with a bunch of guys late, and he's sleeping. He said, well, this would be a good wake-up call. And he said, well, and he's signing the bills of the papers. And he said, can't do it right now. Had the word of knowledge, information, bingo, still wouldn't make the phone call. Had another lady, she's Jehovah Witness. No, he says, well, look, let's just pray. You got nothing to lose. You don't believe anyhow, so nothing's going to happen, right? Let's just pray and see. And he smiled. And she said, no, thank you, and walked away. He goes right to another guy. And the guy says, sure, you can pray. He prays. He's instantly healed. And he's out there hugging him in the parking lot. The guy's hugging him. Just the difference between hearts. Guard your heart, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. Intellect and human reasoning will actually harden your heart and turn you from truth. Even you can even have the confession of him and deny him with your life lived. I'm just saying. Well, you can. Okay. Colossians. Yeah, I know where we're at. God. I'm trying to get to Colossians. It's just serious. It's just Dave said it to me today. He's got several Christians in his life that fight this thing and fight this thing. And yet God's healing all around them. And it breaks my heart. It doesn't have to be that way. Because it's right here. We shouldn't even be surprised. When you don't believe these things and you talk around them, you know what you're actually confessing and saying? It's going to be heavy. You're saying, I don't believe the scriptures. I can prove that. There was a rich man who had a man that was a beggar that laid by his gate. And the dogs would come and lick his sores. Who knows, that's in your Bible. One day they both passed on. One found himself in a real hot place. And the other was in the Abraham's bosom. And between them was a great divide so that they couldn't get to him and he couldn't get to them. Who knows, that's scriptural. I'm just quoting it out scriptural. He asked that Lazarus would just put some water on his tongue. And Abraham revealed, there's no way to get to you and no way for you to ever get to me. That's serious. It hit the rich man so heavy that he said, would you please send back Lazarus, because I got a bunch of brothers, I think five. He said, I got five brothers. He said, please send him back and warn them so they don't come to this awful place. Listen to his response. They have Moses and the scriptures. Let them believe them. For if they don't believe them, they won't believe even if someone's raised from the dead. Wow. It's going to get a little heavy. It's all right, because it's grace on it. I'm not a condemning guy. That's the stuff that goes through your mind when you're sitting in this. Somebody tells a what we call an extraordinary testimony, you think, well, yeah, right. Well, I wasn't there. Well, how come that stuff always happens when I'm not at church? Well, I wonder why it always happens in another country. Well, but what you're saying is, because you shouldn't be surprised, your spirit should rejoice because you're expecting these things. We're in faith. We're the people of faith. When these things are happening, we should be saying, yes, it's the move of God. Well, how do we know it really did have a blockage? I mean, they do get wrong pictures sometimes. And I mean, just because it was open the next picture, maybe they had a faulty picture the first time. I mean, what you're saying is, I don't believe the scriptures. That's what you're saying. That's heavy. Don't let that be your heart. See, when I hear testimonies, I'm like, bring it on. Yes, he did what? Oh, that's God. Yay. Serious? Come on. We got some cool stuff. We had Joyce stand up here and share that the wires weren't on the x-ray when they took the x-ray. Why's God got to do that stuff? Why does he put an extra artery in a man's body that's not supposed to be there to get your attention? He didn't just heal the bad one. He put a new one in his body. He left the old one there. Do you understand why I'm not like, I don't have time to debate? Come on, I'm just going to keep preaching the gospel and praying for the sick. You don't slow down for unbelief. You keep trucking and crush unbelief. I said to the Lord, why do you do stuff that cool? I mean, that's like, that's, we pray to be restored to creative value. That's a little extra. that's a little above human anatomy. I mean, this is the impression I got in my heart. The Lord didn't speak it straight like I hear him sometimes. It's just the impression I got. I'm doing it like this to deal with the unbelief among my people. Had nothing to do with the world. Because you know, that's just, well, how do we know he was really healed? I mean, did the doctors confirm it? How do they know for sure that it was a dead artery? Maybe it just had a little blockage and it opened up and now it's flowing again. I mean, how do we know it was really healed? It's how the church does. We've got pastors and things. They want you to go, look, don't ever bother me. I mean this. Don't ever even waste a minute of my time with the whole documentation thing, and you ought to get these things documented. See, unbelief needs that. It's never satisfied. You can document everything. You can watch a video on a man raised from the dead that's through Reinhard Bunge's ministry and sit there and actually say, well, how do I know that guy is legitimate? How do I know they're not all together? How do I didn't see him dead. I wasn't there. You can talk yourself out of anything. Here's the cool thing. I'm not talking myself into anything. I'm just reading the Bible and going, yeah, come on, God. Okay. Yeah. Let's go for it. Yep. Okay. You see? That's what we're doing. Okay. Because here's the deal. We are the body of Christ. Who's he represent himself through? So we're not waiting on him, are we? I bet he's waiting on us. I bet we were never intended to go to church. We assemble ourselves together to stir one another in love and good works, to encourage one another daily, at least we give the hearting and heart and the deceitfulness of sin. But we are the church. It's not wrong to gather yourself together. I'm not saying don't go to church. I'm saying don't get religious and go sit and hear a message and pay an offering and enjoy the music. You get bored with that. Come on, if I took a toe of hands, you'd all agree. That's because we're missing something. A lot of us have bounced around trying to find the right place. Wrong mentality. Wrong vision. We are the church. We're not trying to find a church we like. Look at Jesus. He's in you and like yourself.
and go be the church. Come on, let's go here. Colossians 1. Are you there? Colossians 1. I shouldn't hear too many pages by now. Verse 26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is, what's the mystery revealed? Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to just define that word glory. I know there's a lot of things we can say about it, the weightiness and all that, but very simply, just see it as this, because it's not misconstruing anything. The manifestation of who God is, the attributes of God revealed, all that God is. Christ in you is the hope of the manifestation of the attributes of God. Does that make sense? Anytime God's revealed, that's God's glory. Any aspect of God is weighty and glory. Yes. Glory, yes. You get it? Do you get the... So Christ, the Christ, what's my hope of glory? The Christ in me. So is there a hope of glory? That means, is there a hope of the manifestation of God? Yeah, because I believe he's in me. Did you hear what this young man's up here singing over and over? These songs that he's singing, manifest through me and giving myself to you and no sellout price. And there was that one phrase he was just going on, and then he'd switch it and make it us to him, God to us to him. And it was all this concept just pouring out. Christ is in me. It's him we preach. Now watch. Warning. Isn't that an interesting word? Warning every man. Why? Because it's nothing less. This is it. Teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Look what Paul says. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So he has laid down his life to accomplish this and establish Christ in the people. Is that what he's saying? You say, well, what are you saying? When you see Jesus, you've already seen the Father. He said, if I don't do the deeds of my Father, don't believe me. Well, he said, as the Father sent me, I send. How do we get around this stuff? As the Father sent me, I send. You say, well, he was talking to the apostles. He wasn't talking to us. We're taking it out of context. Somebody told him that just last week in a supermarket.
My daughter told him.
Yeah.
His daughter said, look, go into all the world, preach saying the kingdom of God is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leprosy. And she said, well, he's talking to the disciples. You're taking that out of context. That's what she said. Sounds like a viable answer. Matthew 28, he said what? Go into every nation, make disciples of every nation, and teach them to observe everything I commanded you. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, look, if I'm talking to you, I'm talking to them. Now you go impart what I've imparted to you. Yeah. Come on, there's just no way around this stuff. The just shall live by faith. Unfortunately, we've just let a lot of it. Let's just go here. Colossians 2, you won't have to go far. I'm not being silly, because the next one's Colossians 3. Verse 6. Let's just read Colossians 2, verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I had for you. And those in Laodicea, and as for as many as not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches and full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden. So we got to search this out. Seek and you will knock, and the doors. Whoa. If it's valuable to you, if you see it as a treasure, search for it. If you allow the devil to cause you to see the lack of value in this gospel and, oh, well, and you got fire insurance and, hey, at least I'm going to heaven. You've missed the whole purpose of your salvation. The whole purpose. Because actually the word salvation doesn't even really imply going to heaven. The word salvation is healed, delivered, protected, preserved, and made whole. It is true. I looked it up. The word saved is the same. A salvation as great as this. He's talking about now, folks. You got to understand the whole deal is God bringing his kingdom back on the earth as if man never gave it away in the first place. You got a garden picture and you got man by the order of God and the grace of God subduing the earth and ruling the earth by God's authority and God's grace, God's go ahead, God's green light. You got man subduing the earth. And you got him following his wife and heeding the voice of his wife instead of God and her deceived by the whisperings of the devil. And they handed all that over to him. And then you got man bound to the law of sin and death and exposed that apart from God, he's weak and unable for centuries. And then in due time, you have Jesus showing up on the scene to get it all back to original value. What's so hard to understand about that? It's the love of God. The reason I'm an excited fella is I'm back there in that place as if I've never eaten a tree. Yay. Come on. We got to get that. Sin has no voice, no power, no influence. What sin? What? What sin? He loves me. And it's his good pleasure to give me the kingdom. And he says, stand before me and be righteous. Yay. And if I sincerely see that first love, it'll humble me and I will love him and I will yield to him and I will walk out this thing. I'm restored back to original value. Oh, it wasn't my will in the first place? You mean that selfish thing never came from you? You mean that was a trap and a lie from the devil? You mean I became that when Adam and Eve fell? We became completely and solely self-centered and defensive and protective and self-preservation and all that side of life, all that whole psychology side of life, man's instincts and all that. You mean that was all inherited through sin? That was never my created value? And you brought me back, and I need to lay all that down and live. Okay, I get it. Yay! Come on, just be like a child with me for a minute. Come on, don't be so sophisticated. You know, that word actually means a lack of innocence. Phew. All our life, well, you need to get more sophisticated. And Jesus is saying, no, be like children. Don't ever lose your innocence. Don't let the world steal your innocence. Phew. I'm not very sophisticated. I'm probably offensive to some. I'm just too happy. Yay. Because I see this thing, I'm back to original value. Sin's not the issue. The love of God's the issue. I'm not lacking any good thing unless I fail to see it and receive it by faith. And then act on it. So if I believe the Bible that it says, if I believe I lay my hands on sick, I ought to be laying my hands on some sick folk. Or actually what I'm saying is I don't believe that. Or I've never heard that and don't understand it, but now you're all hearing it tonight. So. These signs follow those that. Not those that are called and had a sovereign vision or God met them in the middle of the night and appointed and anointed them. Belief causes you to touch the sick. Why not? Don't you just really honestly get real with me? Don't you hate to see people sick? I mean, it just grates on you. You ever been in a situation you were powerless and couldn't change it and you couldn't do nothing? Of course you were. How'd you feel? Horrible. Who said horrible? Any other words? Hopeless. Just that gnawing. You know why it grates on you like that? It's not in your DNA. It's not in your created value. It's not in your created value to be powerless and hopeless and facing the impossible and overcome by the impossible. It's not in you. You were never created for that. And it just grates on you when you're in that situation. So rather than get in that and let it swallow us up and rewrite the book and create theology and try to make ourselves feel better now that we're already crushed because of what happened and try to make... Usually our doctrines and theologies have come out of our hurt to try to crop us up and make us feel a little better because we were so hurting. A lot of the things we say in the church, they're made up to protect us to feel a little better about a tough situation. I don't even want to give myself that opportunity. I want to get in this word and say, God, you sung it tonight. Take anything out of me that's hindering the power of God. Cause me to see what I need to see, but I must have this gospel flowing through me like a river. Yeah. And I refuse to back down. Yeah, but what about? Well, how come? Yeah, but you prayed for him and he died. So you can't tell me God heals everybody, because if he heals everybody, he would heal them. That is religion. That is doubt and unbelief. That is not what Jesus said when the epileptic boy was prayed for by his own 9 and he wasn't healed. Jesus said it was the corrupted thinking of man that gets in the way. He gets driven by need instead of covenant and love. And he gets his eyes on the circumstance and the pressure starts to be his ingenuity and motivation instead of the authority and power through Christ. Backwards thinking. So we want her healed so bad. We need her healed so bad. And we don't see it. And we start striving. We get into the way. Of the way. Does that make sense? Here's a good example. I use it all the time. We get told we have cancer and we're going to die. And we turn and pray to God from the perspective of a dying man with our fingers crossed, hoping God hears our prayer. And we're one of the testimonies of deliverance. That is not even scriptural. It's not. You're not for sale. You're told you have cancer and you're going to die. You're no less the covenant child, blood bought, washed with the promises of God and the love of God than you were before you got that information. Why do we let that information supersede and override everything we've said we've believed all along? What Jesus taught in Matthew 17 is you turn to that situation and you speak from the position of covenant, not in a method, not just off a confession sheet, but because he's for you and not against you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And he says, be courageous, son, be bold, and look into the face of the giant and tell him this day. You get it? Yeah. Dave hates this testimony, so I'm going to just share it because I love him. You know which one it is, don't you?
It's not the one where I caught bigger fish than you.
No, no, no. No, that happens all the time. It's the one when I was taking a shower and found something in my body. You don't like that one. He's like, God, why has he got to tell and be so specific? Look, I had a thing growing in my behind. I'm telling you that because when you get those things in the mail, watch, watch. You're now over 40. It's medical knowledge. I'm not against it, but if you live for it and believe it and submit to it, you're deceived. It produces fear. It tells me that I'm susceptible to my aging instead of to his love in this covenant. Look, I might be 45 based on my birth certificate. I don't know that. I really don't, and I'm not in denial. I don't even think 45 age. I don't even know what that means. I'm just who I am in Christ. You know what I mean? At quarter of five, I passed y'all's house. Quarter of five, I jumped on my bicycle and zipped 15 miles before this service. Just jumped on there and took off. Don't think nothing of that. I didn't do it because I'm 45 and I'm trying to stay in shape. I just did it because I wanted to, and I can because it's my privilege, and I just did it.
But you get these things in the mail. You are now age 40. You are more susceptible to this and this and this than at any other time of your life. And wonder if this is in your body lurking. And do you know you could have this? And you ought to get checked because this might be there too. So I'm taking a shower and I got a thing growing in my behind. It's good that I don't take those things to heart that I read in the mail. Or pictures before and after, huh? No need for documentation on this one, church. Just believe me, okay? Oh, God, we're in trouble. Pray for me, Buck. When you laugh that hard, I'm in trouble. Buck's squirming over there. Oh, God. Listen. Natural knowledge can mess you up. You can pray for a sick person and know too much. You go to pray for a sick person, ask all these questions. The more questions you ask, the more your faith is stretched and challenged. And now you're wondering, you don't need to know half that stuff. I just need to know Jesus. He loves them. He wants to heal them. Come on, let's pray. I don't need to know. I just need to know it's the will of God to restore. Bingo. Because I've watched the church pray for a headache, bold and confident, and then terminal cancer and dig deep, get into their spiritual and pray all these promises and prayers because they're actually intimidated and threatened by the thing because they've seen how much damage it's done and it actually carries notoriety. And when you say terminal cancer, it gets our attention. And when you pray that way, you might as well forget it because spiritually what you're saying is you've got power. And I'm pulling out all the stops and I'm going for the big one, hoping God moves. Look, cancer is crushed through Jesus. We just got to see that, church. I got to see that. I've seen a lot of people heal from cancer. I've seen too many not healed. I've seen too many with it. We need to see that. I've seen a whole lot of cancer healed. I don't keep track and count, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of people I've seen healed of cancer. There's too many I have seen that has not been healed, and I know they can be, and that's where religion says, yeah, but don't be presumptive. Tick, tick, tick. All things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, shall be done. Those little things that rise in your mind when you quote a scripture, like, yeah, unless, of course, it's not the will of God. That is not in your Bible. That's in your mind. Come on. Jesus said, if you have faith, you will say to the mountain. See, I got to get back to this thing because I didn't forget. I'm in the shower. And I'm scrub-a-dub-a-dubbing. And something didn't seem right. And I got to checking things out. And I said, whoa, I had this thing growing in my behind about that big. Half the size of my pinky finger. Natural knowledge says you in trouble. You're over 40. You got some rectal something going on there. And you got something going on. You in trouble. Come on. I just heard it last night. Or two nights ago, we were checking out the weather. You can hardly even just grab the weather without fear trying to. It is just proclaimed everywhere. And so let's proclaim the gospel. Fear's proclaimed everywhere. If you are of age 50, you are more subject to prostate cancer than any time in your life. And it is a record number of men now finding out that it. And they're going on and I'm listening to that thinking, you know, a lot of the church are going to listen to that and go, oh, my. You say, well, now, Dan, you got to use wisdom, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We talk that stuff in the church, and we're just afraid. Bottom line is we're afraid because we ain't applying this gospel and attacking this, with this gospel. You can fight me all you want on this and say, well, Dan, now you got to use wisdom. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying there is. I'm saying there's something wrong with fear. Watch this. I happen to believe this. I'm taking a shower, and I find this thing. Who knows
that right before I touch that thing, I'm a blessed man? Who knows that I know he loves me and I'm in covenant with God and I'm preaching this gospel and I'm in fact praying for the sick? Moment I found this thing, who knows that everything's right? Who knows that all that's happened now is I've just found this thing? But here's the cool thing. Now, I know I sound childish when I say this, but you need to be like a child. If I go to this book and open it, it says the exact same thing it said before I touched that thing. Not one word changed. So why me touching that thing? Why does that change me and shift gears and become my motivation? It's called natural knowledge. So then I pray, I go to my wife, you know, if I'm thinking like a lot of times I see it go, I tell her what I found and I say, look, and we pray. And there's a sense of worry and fear. We're not expressing that. We're talking Christian. Look, we believe. Praise God. Bless God. And then I tell my two best buddies and tell them, and we already prayed. My wife and I have them anointment with oil and agree and pray. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? Nothing if it's faith. I just don't see it faith most of the time. I see it's fear. Let me just tell you what I did. Not that I want you to follow what I did, but I just want you to catch a principle. Because I refuse to fear. My life's in the hand of God. You're looking at a man that's never going to die. You say, oh, you'll have your day. Yeah. Yeah, you're just not thinking like I'm thinking. I'll say it again. You're looking at a man that's never going to die. There's so much joy in that. I could just stand here and bawl. I'm only holding together for your sake. I mean it. I am never going to die. You can take fear back to hell where it belongs. I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to live there. Dale, I'm not going to live there. Neither are you. I touched that thing, didn't say a word, just kept preaching the gospel and praising God like I do in the shower. I like the shower. Jesus, he's Lord in the shower. I got out of the shower and got dressed and went and preached the same gospel I preach every day and didn't say a word to nobody. Didn't even think about it. Because I have this way of submitting to God, resisting the devil. My submission might be different than yours. You're taught to maybe confess and attack that thing. But if your confession and attacking is coming from the most motivation of fear, you might as well regroup. You can quote every confession sheet on the planet and quote every scripture in the Bible and you will be left disheartened if your motivation is fear. If you're just trying to get a result through the scriptures, you will be left bankrupt and high and dry, and you will say, why did God fail? Fear is not the motivation of the believer. Belief is the motivation of the believer. I refuse to fear. You ain't going to see it. If you ever see me fear, just kill me, man. I went and I lived my day. I took a shower the next day, and I checked on that thing. And it actually felt bigger to me than it was before. And I went, I'm going to tell you how I prayed. You can think what you think, but I'm just going to tell you how I prayed. I said, you listen to me. I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. Get out of my body. You have no right. You're a trespasser. You are not the will of God. You're exposed through the word of God. I just said a couple things like that. I can't quote any more than that or I'll give you a wrong tip. But I said something like that. I said a few more things, talking right to it. Now you get out of my body and you never be found in me again. In the authority of the name of Jesus, I command you. I kept scrub-a-dub-a-dubbing. Now watch what I did. I preached the gospel and prayed for the sick, did a healing service through the week, two of them. And for 5 days, I didn't check that thing. Didn't touch it, didn't think about it. Now I took a shower. Who was thinking I skipped it? Roxanne, was that you? You were thinking that. I knew somebody. I took a shower. But see, fear tempts you to check that thing and check up on that thing and make sure God's working. Come on, I know how we are. And we have our ways to justify it. Well, I was just seeing how the prayer was working because I know God's faithful, so. We all messed up sometimes. And we're talking all the right stuff. Oh, God, have mercy on us. To me, I'm at peace. I'm not biting my lip. Oh, my God, I hope I'm not going to die. I hope I'm okay. I hope it ain't worse. Check it. Oh, no. Oh, no. I wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. Didn't even think about it. Just because I hammered it in Jesus' name and I'm just living my life. About the sixth day, I'm in the shower and I thought, I need to check this thing. This thing needs to have submitted. And you say, how arrogant. Who do you think you are? I'm trying to tell us who we are. I found favor with God. Sin and the effects of sin have been crushed by the blood and name of Jesus Christ. He says, sit up and eat like a king. Be free. Be in the world, but don't be of it. Okay. Yeah, but, well, just say okay. Sixth day, I checked it, and it felt like a pimple breaking the skin. And I didn't go, oh, God, we're getting a breakthrough. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, see, it's good to go through this stuff. I wouldn't change it for nothing. You say, well, why was that thing growing in the first place? If you was in covenant and you was in faith, it would never have the right to be there if you was walking with God. I learned and grew so much. Can you tell I'm convinced? You don't have to believe what I'm saying, but I believe it. Just leave me alone. I believe it. Okay? Look, I believe it. I've been through some stuff that has taken what could be heard as a theory and made it absolute reality and revelation to my heart. Jesus is in the fire, folks. You go through the lion's den, that's where you see and learn and understand he shuts the mouth of the lion. Until then, you're just preaching Daniel's experience. You go through a few furnaces, you understand he's Lord over the fire. And then that little gleam in your eyes is understood. There might not be the smell of smoke, but if you look close, you can see I've been through some fires. Oh, I messed up now. See, because I'm not living some bed of roses fairy tale. I'm living the gospel, and it's a war, and there's an enemy, and Jesus is Lord. You get it? So I said to that little pimple thing, I said, look, I told you 6 days ago, you have no right, you get out of me. I command you by the authority and the blood of Jesus. I ain't asking you, I'm telling you, get out of me and never come back. The next day, guess what I did? I checked it right away because we was in war. Then 5 days were good for me because I walked out my faith and I was at total peace. Now think with me, natural knowledge had a thing growing in my behind. Living like it wasn't there. Was I in denial? Was I foolish? Was the thing like, oh my God, that could have been serious. It could have spread to your body and killed you, man. If you're thinking like that, you run in a heartbeat and get checked. I am not against that. I'm not condemning you. If you're thinking that way, you go get that thing checked. You hear me? And you're not condemned. And I ain't saying you're weaker than me. If you're thinking that way, because you can tell I'm not talking about this. Bless God, praise God, I hold you on your head, not tell. Bless God, you can go on out by his stripes, I'm healed. I'm at peace. I'm not out on a limb trying to be somebody here. When I say this, those of you that know my heart know right where I'm coming from. Jesus is Lord. And the way we overcome the enemy, that precious holy blood, that precious holy word, and we love not our own lives unto death. Guess what just got canceled out? Fear. Get it? Come on. Because if you don't love your own life unto death, you're a target. The value of your life will be questioned. Do we ever read Colossians 2? It's still not 9 o'clock. Will you give me 5 minutes? We read some of it. Yeah, we did. Because he was all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then that took me to my little rabbit trail.